Would you pray with me, please? Loving God, we thank you for your word. It's a tough word to hear. But we hope that you will help us through your Spirit to hear of your love, that we might claim it for our lives, for the lives of all of your people. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. In 1990, approximately, there was a Reader's Digest article written by an interim pastor. And she told the following story about something that happened in the life of her and her husband. She said, "My husband, Dan, temporarily assigned to his company's night shift, usually arrived home just after I left for work. And in order to have a few minutes together each morning, we began to meet in front of a convenience store where I would stop and get my coffee. The two of us would stand between our parked cars and talk for a little while, and then we would kiss goodbye and go our separate ways. Well, one morning, Dan came inside while I was still at the counter, and he started discussing an upcoming family gathering. They started discussing it together. And she says, as we walked away, I wasn't sure if I was amused or dismayed when I heard the cashier say to another employee, 'All the romance just went out of our mornings. The Blue Olds is married to the Ford truck. Now, I don't know, you know, if the employees thought it was some sort of shenanigans going on or what, but they were dismayed. And it was obvious that the employees had misunderstood the relationship of the husband and the wife. And I shared that because we have a lot of misunderstandings about the word love and when we use it, for good reason. As most of you know, I've been doing a series during Lent entitled, What Love Do You Mean? I've been talking about our one word love and how it has at least 7 Greek words for love. And each of them has a different object of that love, a different nuance regarding that love. When we talk about love with our one word, at times it's hard to know what we're really talking about, or for others to understand what we mean when we say the word. You know, in the Bible, 4 of those 7 words for love are used. And I've talked about 3 of them so far. Eros is the word used when the passage is expressing passion. Or what some people today might say, to make love. I've always thought that phrase was funny, but philia is about brotherly love or sisterly love. And then there was agape, which I talked about last week. That's the love that God has for humanity. An unconditional love, a sacrificial love. And today, I'm talking about storge or storgos love. Family love. Now, storgos is different from philia in that I think storgos is more inclusive. It's like the love between parent and child, child and parent, and child and child, and parent and parent. It's all combined. It's all inclusive. Whereas philia seems to be more like a one-on-one, two-person love. But what's interesting about the use of the word storgos in the Bible, in the New Testament, is that, it's only used 3 times. And 2 of the 3 times that it's used, the negative form of the word is used, astorgos. And that's the word that was used in both of our passages today that were read. In 1 Timothy, we heard about inhuman, implacable, slanderous, profligates and brutes and haters of good. the disobedient generation living in the last days is not sharing Storgos love. Astorgos here is translated as inhuman. Not the kind of love that we think a family shares together. In Romans 1:31, we heard these words, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Here, Astorgos is translated as heartless. Inhuman and heartless. The opposite of what we think about what love in a family should be. Now, if we go to the positive, we would get humane, heartful. And I think that's what we imagine when we think of a love between a parent or a child and so on. Now recognize that there are many homes where Storge or Storgos love is not really expressed. And I'll come back to that in a minute. But if you grew up in a house like that, or a family like that, then I want you to imagine this family love as you think it ideally would be. The love that we can imagine is a love that one can come home to and find love, find support after a hard day. Storgos speaks of love where we can make mistakes and still be loved. A relationship where we're nurtured, where we're cared for. What's interesting, in Romans 12:10, I didn't read that today because I've read it over the last couple of weeks. But we hear of philostorgos, which combines brotherly love with family love. Kind of like, okay, let's get all of our bases covered with this one word. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. That's philostorgos. That's how it's translated. Rudyard Kipling once wrote about families, "All of us are we. Everyone else is they. A family shares things like dreams, hopes, possessions, memories, smiles, frowns, and gladness. A family is a clan held together with the glue of love and the cement of mutual respect. A family is shelter from the storm, a friendly port when the waves of life become too wild. No person is ever alone who is a member of a family." I like that. No person is ever alone who is a member of a family. The way the word is used in 2 Timothy and Romans chapter 1 reminds us that we are to work to have that not just in our own personal families, biological families. But that's the kind of love that we're supposed to share with others in the world. In fact, there are those who have said, scholars who have said, that there's no real difference between agape love and Storgos love. I think maybe, though, that the difference is when we talk about agape love, we're talking about the love that God has for humanity, that the Son of God has for humanity. Yes, we're supposed to have that love to share with others, but it comes from God. Whereas Storgos love seems to be rooted in the family, the kind of love we have with family. It's a more earthly understanding of love. However, I am aware that we often speak of everyone being a part of God's family. So the line between agape and Storgos love is very, very faint. Now, I find it troubling that Storgos love is seen as a love we should have with those inside and outside of our families. A human, accepting, loving, devoted love for each other. And yet, we live in a time when families are not doing well. We live in a time when the divorce rate is over 50%. On an average, well, on average, nearly 20 people per minute, 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner in the United States. During 1 year, this equates to more than 10 million women and men. 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men have been victims of some form of physical violence by an intimate partner within their lifetime. But granted, not all of that is within a committed family relationship, but a lot of it is. And then we look at child abuse. We have the following statistic. Nearly 700,000 children are abused in the U.S. annually. An estimated 676,000 children were victims of abuse and neglect in 2015. That's the most recent year for which there was data available. About 4 out of 5 victims, about 4 out of 5 abusers are the victim's parents. A parent of the child victim was a perpetrator in 77.5% of substantiated cases. And then that does not account for those thousands of children who were born in this country to illegal aliens, and yet because they were born in this country, they are American citizens. And then their parents are ripped away from their children and deported. I'm convinced, utterly convinced, that this lack of family love, this lack of storgos love that people are not, that is not happening, this lack of having a place where family members can feel safe, leads to an incredible breakdown of the expression of that love, not only in the family, but in the larger human family as well. I believe that's why there is so much anger and animosity in our country today. I think other countries experience it, but I'm not so sure they experience it as much as we do. People experience extreme anxiety when they don't have a safe, nurturing, supporting, loving place to call home. We need to lift up storgos love. We need to lift up the areas where we see it being expressed, to thank those who are expressing it and say, thank you. Thank you for the love that you're sharing. And where we don't find it, we need to challenge them. We need to challenge them and say, you need to change your life so that your family can feel safe with you in your home and others can feel safe around you. Not just for our sake, but for the sake of humanity. If we don't, we'll truly experience astorgos, as it was pointed out in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy and Romans, the inhuman, ruthless, heartless aspects of humanity. We'll become like the father in the following story. Dwayne frantically turned to his wife and muffled the phone's mouthpiece. With an ashen face, he quietly repeated the last comment from the telephone conversation that he was having with his parents. And he whispered to Ashley, "Dad said we can go to their house for Thanksgiving, or they can cut us out of their will. It's our choice." I was hoping I'd get a little more of a life. Go to their house for Thanksgiving or be cut out of the will. It's our choice. Granted, it's just a story. I know it. And we laugh. But that's a storgos. And you know, that's happening every day in the actions and the words of people. So we need to stand up. Stand up for human decency. To stand up for nurturing relationships. To stand up for supporting relationships and acceptance and tolerance. Loving relationships. In all that we do. And we need to challenge others to do the same. That's what it means to have Storgos love. Amen.